Notice it says in verse 17, now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it, and he went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So David went to Bel-Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of the place Bel-Perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. And then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees that you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord commanded him. And he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. The battle belongs to the Lord. Easy to say, hard to live out. You ever been there? That's really what tonight is about. The battle belonging to the Lord. Even though this is not the passage that talks about the battle belonging to the Lord, God had to teach David some things. Again, now that he's learned all these other lessons, there's more lessons for David to learn. And David needed to learn to let God be the one to always lead him in every battle. David had learned that, but now as the leader of the nation, it wasn't as much even for David, I think, at this point, as it was for the people of Israel. They needed to see that David was going to be their commander, anointed by the Lord and used by the Lord to push them forward. In the scene here, remember, David has been anointed. He was anointed king over the kingdoms. He's now ruling the first time that the kingdom has really been together in quite some time. Saul's, you know, had a united kingdom, and it was divided when David left, and some of the Benjamites were, I guess they were still kind of there, rather the, not the Benjamites, but David's descendants, those the Bethlehemites, and those down in Judah were really more leaning toward David, but united with the kingdom, but not really, I don't think, totally united in heart. And then when David was down in Hebron for 7.5 years, you had, of course, the kingdom divided, you know, in the upper and the lower. Well, now they're back together. And they needed to see that David was going to be their leader and that God had anointed David. And so God needed to not only establish David in being the king, but he had to establish him before the people. And remember, the same thing happened with Saul. Remember when Saul became king, the first thing he did was a battle came along. And Saul was out in the fields and they'd never had a king before. And they said, there's a battle and we need our leader to come forward. He came forward, led them, and they had this great victory in the battle. And now the same thing is going to happen to David. David gets anointed the king of Israel. And now there's a battle that God allows to come in. And guys, note this. Whenever God calls you and establishes you and puts you somewhere, God is the one that brings the battle. There's going to be a battle. We're going to see that tonight. And it's ongoing. You get breaks. Don't worry. It's not like constant battle. You know, you have state side, spirit side, or whatever, you get those breaks. But the bottom line is there's going to be battles, and the battles serve a lot of purposes. One is we need battle. We need to understand battle. But also I think that the people that we're working with in whatever ministry you're in, they need to see you as a leader in that battle. And so battle is a very productive thing. I had one of my girls this week talking to me and saying, you know, Dad, my whole life I've believed in Jesus almost since I've known him. I've walked with the Lord and I believe in the Lord and all this stuff. And all these things that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know in the Word, all of a sudden all these doubts are being thrown into my mind. Is that really true? Is the Bible really true? And I said, you know what? That's very normal. It's exactly what happened to Eve in the garden. Did God really say? See, I said, it's demonic. I said, but you know the Word of God. You know, well, when will it stop? I don't know when it'll stop, but here's the tools to fight it. Guys, the same tools, again, we all know that I share with her, I share with us again. We have to use our sword. When the enemy attacks us and brings doubt about the Word of God and about anything to do with our faith in Him, it is written. It is written. It is written. And I wish I could say that the moment you do that, it's all gone. No, sometimes the battle lasts a while. Even with the Lord. Remember, he had to keep battling. He's in the wilderness. He keeps battling. And finally, it says that the enemy left him when he realized he couldn't break him, and he left till a more opportune time. So the good news is he will leave. The bad news is I'll be back. See? So we have to continue to battle. And when you have a struggle in those areas, what you do is you go to your Bible, find the scriptures that pertain to that area. Memorize them. And every time you're attacked in that area, it is written. And I verbally say it out loud. You know, I mean, that gets kind of awkward when you're talking to somebody. No, I never do it right there when I'm talking to somebody. But you know, I do say it out loud because I do believe there's power in that. I mean, you can say it in your mind as well when you're in a crowd or around people. But I also, when I'm alone, it is written because it reminds us of God's word. It pushes the enemy back and defeats him. And so what I explained to her was, I said, you know what, this is very normal. You have to go through this. You have got to go through battle, because if you don't go through battle, you're not going to know how to fight. You know, when God sent the children of Israel into the wilderness, he didn't send them immediately into the battle at first. He said first he took them out away from the battle, and they were only supposed to spend a couple of years of, you know, boot camp. And then after a couple of years of boot camp in the wilderness, they were supposed to go into the promised land and fight the battle, and God was going to give them the land. Well, you know, because of their rebellion, you know the story. They spent 40 years, 38 more than they were supposed to in the wilderness. And they literally died in the wilderness. I used to, you know, God, don't let me die in the wilderness. You know, I mean, don't, you know, if we find ourselves not believing that God can do in our lives what he said he'll do, guys, we run the risk of dying in the wilderness. I choose to believe him. And whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to believe him. I don't want to die in the wilderness, and I know you don't want to either. We've got to believe the Lord. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. But then when he was done, he had every intention of sending them into the battle. Because he said they need to learn war. As a matter of fact, there's another place in Scripture where it says that the Lord brought wars to the nation of Israel because this generation had not yet learned battle. So war can be a positive thing. Although war is, as they say, war is hell. That saying is so awful. At the same time, wars have a purpose. And they, especially for the believer, the spiritual war. The spiritual battle, it firms us up. It strengthens us. And one day, mom and dad aren't going to be there to protect them and to say, honey, don't worry, it is true. And honey this and honey that, they're going to be on their own. And what happens when the enemy attacks then? If they don't, as children, learn how to fight the spiritual battle, what happens when they're older? They're not going to know how to do that. They've got to learn now. So spiritual battle is not a bad thing. You pray with your kids through it. We have to pray through it. We use the word of God. We learn how to fight the battle. God has a reason for it. God will never give us more than we can handle. And there will be a victory at the other side of it. But what he wants us to learn more than anything, which has taken me years to learn, I still don't know that I've learned it, I know it mentally, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And remember, if Satan can get us into the fleshly realm, he wins. His desire is to pull us into the flesh. If he can pull us into the flesh in whatever our trial or test is, we're done. We're done. He laughs at us. He mocks us, smacks us around like a kitten with a mouse. You know, you ever seen that? That's a cruel thought. But anyway, that's what it's like. I don't know why that popped in my mind, you know. Feeling sorry for the mouse. That's a cruel thought. But the bottom line is that's what Satan does to us. But you know what? When that mouse goes back in that hole, that stronghold that the cat can't get in, what happens? The mouse is safe. And the bottom line is, you know, and really the analogy really is actually pretty good, because when I get in the flesh, I'm really a rat. I really am. I see my flesh. It stinks. And I go, Mark, that's ugly. You're like a rat. But if I can just stay in the stronghold of God and say, God, you fight. I can't do this. You know, I've heard somebody say when Satan comes knocking, say, Lord, you get it. And there's it's a learning curve in doing that, because our initial response is to fight the battle ourselves. And we have to learn to let God do it and then learn how to let God do it. David needed to learn these lessons, as well as the nation of Israel needed to see David as their leader. And so we're going to talk about some of that tonight. You ever wonder why those in the Bible had such great victories and oftentimes we don't? Well, it really boils down to, again, understanding that the battle belongs to the Lord. Again, as we said, letting him fight them, because in our strength, we have no way to do that. Now, there are three main avenues. We're going to go into the, you know, armor of God and all that. There's a whole study on spiritual battle and warfare. We're not doing that tonight. That's not our purpose. We're only looking at one small segment of it. And I want to break this down into three main things when it comes to the battle belonging to the Lord and how we win those battles. It's prayer, his word, and simple obedience. That's all it is. Prayer, God's word, and obedience. Those three factors will give us the victory in the spiritual battle. We're going to see David does. He employs all of those tonight. And because of that, God gives him great victory. Notice in verse 17. Now remember, David has come in there. His family's been put in place. He's the new king of Israel. Now they're going to officially anoint him. Rather, they did. We saw last week. Officially anoint David the king. And immediately after he's anointed, he gets tested. And again, to prove himself, I believe, before the people is why God allowed this. But also because we have an adversary. Again, this is the Philistines coming against him. But in reality, it's Satan stirring the Philistines. God allowing it, but Satan stirring it. And notice verse 17. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now this verse again is loaded. Notice what happens here. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed to serve God and his people, they immediately went looking for him. Guys, I don't want to discourage you from ministry. But I can give you a promise. If you choose not to minister and just be quiet about your faith, your life's going to go a lot easier. It really is. I'm just going to tell you. Most people will like you. You won't find a lot of spiritual warfare in your life because you're not a threat. You'll get bugged occasionally just because Satan hates you and wants to kick you when he walks by. But you're not really, you're not a threat. So you're left alone for the most part. But if you decide, you know what, I'm going to live, you know, I don't live that long. I've got a short little life here. I'm going to make it count. All right, God, here I am. Let's go. I'm going to do it. I'm suiting up. Let's go. Then get ready. You know, it's almost like if you decide you're going to step in and really serve the Lord, it's almost like going into politics. If Sarah Palin had decided to not go into politics, she would probably be living a very comfortable, wonderful life with her children, with no horrible attacks and all these things that happened to her. And I say her because she seems to be kind of like the brunt of the world or something, right? You know? But she decided, I'm going to step out and do this. And what happened? Look what's happening to her. Now, the believer, the same thing. In the political realm, it's because of your political positions and you're going to get attacked and bashed. In the spiritual realm, it's because you're choosing to follow God and your spiritual position. And it's not just man, it's the demonic realm that hate you, and they're going to attack you, and they're going to do everything they can to discourage you and destroy you and do away with you. Absolutely. So understand when you go into it, that's going to happen. So I say that, you know, kind of cautiously because I don't want to discourage you. But you know what? I would be lying to you if I didn't say that if you step out into ministry, there's going to be a battle. The thing is, God will be your protector. God will give you the strength you need, and God is going to teach you and teach me the same thing that he taught David. And that is, although the battle takes place, the enemy comes to look for you. There's that stronghold that we can run into. See, the good news that we have to realize when we come under the attack of the enemy is that the Lord protects us. And notice what David did. It says after the enemy came looking for him, what did David do? He ran into the stronghold. Now, stronghold, it means a place of protection. A place where the enemy can't get at you. It's a place where it would be, you know, hard, if not impossible, for the enemy to get. And David knew this is where David needed to go until he knew what the next step was he was supposed to do. And although this is a literal stronghold that David ran into, guys, there's a spiritual application to this because the Bible says that Jesus is our stronghold. We are to run into Jesus and hide when we come under attack. You know, Sunday night, we're going through the Psalms. You read the Psalms and you realize how attacked David really was. It's like every other Psalm, it's like, my enemies hate me. They're talking about me. They're attacking me. It's like, David, you know, if anybody would want to quit, it'd be David. I wish I could fly away, he says, with the wings of a dove and leave all these problems. And all these people are always on David. And we had another one of those Psalms on Sunday night. And David said, they attack me. They slander me. They tear me down. He said, but I commit myself to prayer. I'm like, wow, that's maturity. Would to God that we could say whenever we're attacked, we don't fight back. We commit ourselves to prayer. But that's really what it means. It doesn't mean that you don't say that something is not true if you've been falsely accused, but drop it at that. What it means, now you run in the stronghold. You back into the mouse hole, all right? We'll follow that analogy through. I'll have to let it go, but you get the point. You get back in the stronghold where you're safe. Jesus is our stronghold. Tonight, some of you guys are under attack. Some of it is manifesting itself physically. Some of it is only manifesting itself spiritually. Jesus is your answer. You've got to run in the Lord. You've got to pray. You've got to hide in him. He's the only one that can protect you. He's the only one that can deliver you. And so we have to learn this. And David, boy, David knew it. Again, if anybody knew about strongholds, David did. Remember the years God had taught David this. David's running through the wilderness. Everywhere that he went, Saul's chasing him. David's running in a stronghold, running in a stronghold, running in a stronghold. You go, wow, why in the world would God have David running in all these literal strongholds for all these years to get away from all these enemies that were attacking him? So he would learn to do it spiritually as well. Isn't that interesting? You know, if you've been running from people all the time, like David was, when the spiritual attack comes, what are you going to do? You'll know to run to the stronghold. And if you know that the stronghold is the Lord, you run to the Lord. And so David had learned his lesson. He does very good. He runs to the Lord. He runs in the stronghold. He's protecting himself. But now he needs further information. Lord, what do I do from here? Again, notice there in verse 18, it says, then the Philistines also went up and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Notice they not only went looking for David, they deployed troops. And this is how the enemy works. He doesn't just come looking for you, but he deploys troops. What is to deploy troops? That is to release troops in an area so they can attack from that vantage point. Remember when God said to Satan, where have you been? Oh, I've been roaming around the earth to and fro, you know. And the Bible says that Satan walks around the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That is, if we put ourselves in a place where we may be devoured, he sees us and takes advantage of it. Like the cat, again, the mouse roaming around the house. The cat's seeking whom he may devour. If the mouse is out at the wrong time or in the wrong place, he's dead meat. So the bottom line is, if we're in a place where we can be attacked, we're dead meat. So he roams about looking for one that he can devour and one that he can destroy. But that's not all he does. He doesn't just look for us. He sets traps. He deploys troops. And this whole mouse thing is going way too far. But really wasn't in my heart before this started. Plugging this demonic, stop it. But think about it. Even with the mouse, the traps are set, aren't they? And you know, if that mouse thinks that just looks so good, they're dumb enough to step into that trap and get caught. We're not children of darkness, guys. We have to recognize the trap set by the enemy and say, you know what, he's roaming around. I shouldn't be in a place I'm not supposed to be where I could be pounced on. Number two, I don't care how good that looks, there's going to be death in the end. See, sin is fun for a season, and it looks great sometimes, doesn't it? It does. If we didn't think it looked great, we wouldn't be drawn toward it. We were talking again the other day about free choice and the fact that God gives us free choice. And why were there two trees in the garden? Why didn't God just make one so nobody could fall? Because God made us in his image, and he's a God of choice, which means he gives us choice. And he wants to know, do you love me or do you love the world? Do you love me or do you love your sin? Which do you love more? Which tree is it going to be, Mark? Which tree? I know that tree would taste good temporarily. I know it looks nice. It'll kill you. Why don't you just eat of the tree of life and not die? So there's that whole situation that goes on there where he not only goes looking for us, but he deploys troops for us and he watches so that he can destroy us. And on here's the bottom line. Remember, he is superior than we are. We can't fight. We can't outsmart his traps. Okay, we can't trick him and outsmart him. And we can't beat him in a one-on-one battle. You know, the mouse tries to fight the cat. He doesn't have a chance. And he even might even be good, you know, and be able to get a couple of things off the mousetrap without getting caught. You know, maybe you're a little spiritual Speedy Gonzalez. Arriba, arriba, andale, andale. Ooh, you know, and he's like, I can do this, man. I'm slick. I can get away with it. I'm just getting right to the edge. I'm not really sinning. I'm just getting just ever so often a little thing and I'm gone, right? Guys, there's going to be one of these days where snap. And a lot of believers do that. They try to raid the traps as long as they can. Then all of a sudden, snap. They think, I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. And again, I think oftentimes the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, we go back to that whole thing with Peter and Jesus. So we have to guard ourselves in that. And again, he deploys troops. The enemy deploys troops against us. He goes looking. So now what does David need? David needs supernatural help. David can't figure this out on his own. David's not going to know how to get out of this. He needs God's help. And so do we. So what does David do? Again, he does the right thing. Look here at verse 19. So David inquired of the Lord. Now we can pause there a minute. Guys, notice what David did. When David realized the enemy was looking for him and the enemy was setting traps for him, he admitted, I may be the mighty warrior David, right? I may be the king of Israel. I may be the anointed one that God called, but I'm not stupid. And I know that the enemy has deployed troops against me. I know that they're trying to destroy me. I need God's help. We need God's help. The first thing we do in these situations, we cry out to God. Well, I take that back. The first thing we do is run in the stronghold, right? Run to Jesus. But then after we get to Jesus, what do? Now we, again, go to the Lord and find out, Lord, what do I do? And so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Do you want me to leave the stronghold and go fight these guys, Lord? Or what do? Will you deliver them into my hand? I love this. And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. What a great and sweet word from the Lord. Don't you love it when he speaks just firmly and just powerfully and no question in your mind? Don't you love that? I hate the times where it's kind of like, I think God said this. I think he did. I really think he did. That's not a real good place to be, is it? I hate that place. I'm like, Lord, I think you said that, but I'm not sure. Then wait and pray and say, I need to know doubtless. I've got to be doubtless, God. You've got to speak. And, you know, we can get crazy with it. I mean, sometimes God has spoken so clearly to me. And even though it's so clear, maybe I'm so fearful in heart, I still think, well, you know, I'm not sure that that's it. God, if this is really you, you know, let a car drop right out. Ooh, that was close. But just to make sure, Lord, could another one fall, you know, and this kind of thing. No, look, and we shouldn't ask that, and God doesn't do that. But the bottom line is, guys, is we need to be sure. Doubtless. I love it. He realized he needed the Lord, and he cries out to the Lord, shall I go against the Philistines? Will you deliver me? Two great questions to ask. Doubtless I'll deliver them into your hands. Again, a great, great, great thing to hear from the Lord. And whenever you hear like that from the Lord, there's great confidence. You know, when you do more, move forward, you can move forward boldly because you realize, I'm not doing this. God's doing this. And so that's a great place to be. And I want to again encourage us, guys, that we shouldn't move forward with anything until we know that it's the Lord who has told us to do it. Now, we can't go back and change the things that we go, wow, I wish I'd have waited until I knew it was the Lord that told me to do that. I've got some of those. You have those? I thought it was the Lord. It felt like the Lord. Boy, I've learned some hard lessons. You can't trust your feelings, can you? Felt like the Lord. He said, I would know his voice, you know, but it usually comes down to feelings, and it's not waiting on that doubtless confirmation. God is able to give confirmation, and there's nothing wrong in waiting until God gives confirmation. He lets us know. And so David gets the confirmation, and now, man, you can't stop him. I mean, God says, hey, I'm going to do this. If God said to any of us in this room, I guarantee you, whatever you're facing, if God said, I will doubtless do it, you would walk forward with just the boldness of Goliath. Well, he shouldn't have been bold, but he came forward bold. But the boldness of David, rather, against Goliath. You know, the boldness of a lion. There's a courage there that comes with knowing that God's in the midst of this. And so he says, I'll do it. Look at verse 20. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. See, even as God said, God did it. When God says it, God will always do it. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. I love that picture. We'll get back to that. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which literally means master of breakthroughs or lord of breakthroughs or master or lord of breaches. You know, something breaking through is what that means there. And this is really, again, the Lord, he says, broke through my enemies like a breakthrough of water. And again, this is exactly what happens when we run to the Lord. We not only get the victory, we get the overwhelming victory. Now, what do I mean by overwhelming? Again, this is very picturesque and powerful language about God giving victory to David. And that is his army burst through the enemy and overwhelmed them like water bursting through a dam and overflowing it. You ever seen a flood or something being held back and suddenly it just breaks through and takes everything with it? In my mind, I thought of the tsunami. Now, again, that was a horrible event. But those of you that saw in the news the pictures of the tsunami that came smashing in, you know, to the shores there, and I mean everything, cars and people and trees and houses and everything was being moved by this. That's a picture of what David's talking about here. He's saying, Lord, when I came upon the Philistines, it was like this tsunami. It was like this smash, and you broke through like water. You just overwhelmed them and swept them away. You know, praise the name of the Lord. Look what God did in God's power. And David knew that it wasn't him, and David didn't take credit for it, and David didn't pretend it was him. David said, God did this. And he understood that God did it. He had learned, you know, to give God the glory because he knew that it was God. But it was like this sudden explosion of just water everywhere, you know. And again, this is what the Lord does when he overwhelms the enemy and gives us that breakthrough. And you know what, guys? Do you need a breakthrough tonight? You remember that terminology? I just need a breakthrough. Sometimes I feel like that everything is just blocked up. It's like, Lord, I just need this thing to finally just go, you know. We need a breakthrough. That's the kind of God we serve. I can't say you're going to get your breakthrough tonight, but we can ask, can't we? Now I want to pray before we're done for whatever it is that if you're looking for something, for God to really break through in some area. Maybe it's some sin that's holding your life. Or, I mean, you can go down the list of whatever things could be holding you back and say, God, I need a breakthrough. I've been fighting with this for so long. I've been struggling for so long. God, you've got to do it. God says, I can do that. We need to ask him to do it. We run into the stronghold and we believe him and we say, God, I need you to help me. And then we wait on God to show us what to do. And then God does it. Again, we'll pray for that breakthrough tonight before we're done. But notice here, after he breaks through them and just, he wiped them out so fast and so hard. Again, like this explosion of water, and you see all the people just floating away in this kind of mental image. Notice in verse 21, it happened so hard and fast, they left their images there. And David and his men carried them away. It tells us in Chronicles, they carried them away to burn them. You know, they're commanded in Scripture to burn all their images. And so the Philistines had brought all their little images to battle with them. We have all these images, and we're going to go and fight the Israelites, and our images, you know, our gods are going to give us victory. He says, your gods are a joke. And God breaks through them. Ah, they panic and take off running. They throw all their gods everywhere, and they're gone. And so this great breakthrough here, and he burns all the images and destroys them. And again, their images were their gods. They couldn't help them any. And so they just threw them to the ground. And you know what? It's amazing how many people still today look toward false gods and false religions that cannot help them at all. There's no help there. There's nothing they can do. And yet, a lot of people still hold on to them. Our God, you know, aren't you glad? It's interesting. They picked up their gods. David and the guys picked up their gods and carried them off. Kind of sad if you can pick your God up and carry it off, isn't it? I need my God to carry me. So they carry him off. They burn him like God commanded. Notice verse 22, then the Philistines went up once again. Now, and they deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now, guys, note this. Just because you defeated the enemy once, God gave you that victory, doesn't mean he's not going to be back. Again, we talked about Jesus in the wilderness. Remember, the enemy came to him and said, hey, if you're God, you know, again, really the word there, since you're God, it says, you know, if you're the Son of Man, the word, same word for since in the language there. And I think probably a better translation would be since. Because Satan knew he was God. He knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew he was the Son of God, so he couldn't lie to Jesus and get away with it. But since you're the Son of God, you know, make these stones turn to bread. It is written. It wasn't time. I'm not going to do that. Came again. Remember, well, since you're the Son of God, then throw yourself down. from the Temple Mount. I mean, you'll float to the bottom, and some 700 feet down, they said at that time, up on the wall, the highest place, the pinnacle. You'll float down to the ground. Everybody will see it and go, wow, just amazing. Wow, you're in the worship. He says, no, I'm going to wait and do it God's way. It is written. Remember, you worship God in Him alone. And then again, you know, at the end, he says, bow down to me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. He says, no, again, I'm going to worship God. It is written. Just because you've defeated the enemy once, don't think that he's done. I wish it was. I wish that once we had that battle in that area. And I even hear Christians still say this today. Man, I thought I had that place in my life defeated. I thought I had that area covered. The good news and the bad news. The good news is this. God will give you the power and the strength to defeat any area in your life. The bad news is your flesh is still very much alive. And if we allow the flesh any levity or we get weak in the spirit, the flesh is going to come right back. And the same person we were before Jesus Christ is still in there. He's just being held down. So I don't know if we ever really get over it. We subdue it by the power of God. And so the spirit has got to dominate in the word, in prayer, and letting God's spirit just overrule and dominate. And so it's got to be done by consistency with the Lord in God's power and realizing the enemy's going to come back. He deployed against us once. He's going to deploy again. Even there at the end of that whole passage, remember with Jesus, it says that after the enemy left, he left till a more opportune time. He's going to come back. We have to keep our guard up. Always be watching. Always be ready. And so they come again. They set their troops up there in the valley of Rephaim once again. And David now gets ready to take them on again here. Again, it's interesting because this is neat to me. Notice what David does here. They come back up and it says in verse 23, therefore David inquired of the Lord. Now note that. Last time, what happened when the enemy came against, he prayed to the Lord. Now the enemy comes again. What does David do? He prays to the Lord. Guys, there's a pattern here we need to get. And that is, for every battle, we seek the Lord. It would have been easy for David to say, well, I'll just do the same thing I did last time. I prayed about it last time. God said, go straight up, fight them, and you'll have the victory. That wasn't what God wanted to do this time, because this time the battle was ready. The battle line was drawn with the Philistines. They knew what David was going to do, and they were prepared. God had a different battle plan. Here's my point. For every battle we face, and really for that matter, every instance we face, we've got to pray. Lord, what do you want me to do this time? How do I handle it this time? I've always done it this way. Well, maybe I'm not going to do it that way this time. And so David inquires of the Lord. Again, he's formed a habit of asking God each time that the battle comes into play so he'll be able to defeat the enemy and find out what God's heart is. And we've got to get in that habit, praying about everything and finding out God's heart. And so he says, God, do I go up? And notice there in verse 23, he says, you shall not go up. That is not the same way you did last time. That approach worked last time, David. That approach is not going to work this time. And again, this shows us how we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think about even street witnessing. You can walk up to somebody and, you know, you share with them and they give their life to the Lord. You think, that's it. That's going to work every time. I'm going to follow the same pattern. I'm going to walk up. I'm going to do the same thing. It's going to work. It doesn't work, does it? Every person is different. So you got to say, God, lead me. How do I reach this person? What is my approach with them? What should I do? David's learning that lesson here. And God says, no, don't do it like you did last time. You shall not go up. In other words, as the way you did last time. Notice this, but circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Different approach, whole different direction. So David gets his marching orders from the Lord, quite literally. And notice verse 24. I love this right here. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. Isn't that great? Then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. Don't you wish you could hear God's troops marching in the top of the mulberry trees before every battle you went into? Now, David didn't hear this before every battle. But can you imagine God saying, hey, listen, who can march in the top of the trees? This is God. And this is the angels of God going to battle. Now, they're all around us fighting the battle for us. We don't always know that. But he let David actually hear it. He says, David, circle around, get behind him, get in front of the mulberry trees. And when you hear me marching up there, it's like, yep, there they go. It's almost like, you know, the Air Force going in. You know, you hear the air coming in, then now we're going on ground, right? I mean, we use the same tactic in military battle today, don't we? We pound it with the Air Force, and then once all the targets are pounded up and it's softened, we send in the troops. It's exactly what God did. He comes in with the Air Force and says, all right, now follow me. Man, I would rather follow the Lord than I would, nothing against our Air Force, but I'd rather follow the Lord than our Air Force. I can tell you that, because he wouldn't miss anything. And he's much more powerful than any Air Force we could ever have. I was thinking about this today. What an awesome event this must have been. You know, you talk about confidence. Again, God was not only establishing David, God was establishing David in front of the people, but God was giving David confidence. Confidence that he was with him. Confidence that he was working. And every leader needs that. You've got to know in whatever you're doing that God is with you. But it was interesting today because, as I drove over here today, I stopped first by the land over there and I walked down the land and I like to try to, in my mind, can I, you know, live these scenes out. And I was up there I wasn't like running around with a stick or anything. Ha ha, you know, but I was, I'd be embarrassing if somebody filmed me one day and that's your pastor? Yeah, that's my pastor. But I got up to the edge of the trees. I went around the trees and got up to the edge. I said, Lord, what would this be like? When I looked up at all the trees, I thought, what would it be like? There's the battle line drawn, hearing them marching. And about that time, this big breeze came along. I'm not saying that was God, but it was neat because this big breeze, whoosh, blowing the trees, like, wow. I was like, that didn't sound like, you know, I doubt that's what it sounded like to David, but I was trying to imagine, what did it sound like? And I was thinking, man, if I heard that, if God said, when you hear this sound, this begins to happen, you're talking about confidence. Nothing could stop you. I think about, again, we've talked about it before, the battle that George Washington went into, and they said they were fighting the Indians, and they were also fighting others as well, the British and the Indians together fighting against them. And as they were fighting, all the commanders got killed, and most everybody in the battle got killed. George Washington was the only commander that didn't get killed, and when he got home, he found something like 5 bullet holes in his vest. And he said he knew that God was with him. He knew that God had called him, and he knew that God was going to protect him. What confidence he had. So much so that many years later, one of the commanders of the Indians that was there in the battle found that George Washington was near and he wanted to meet with him. He said, I had to meet with you. He said, I wanted to meet the man who God protected. And I forget the name that he used for him. I don't have the story in front of me because I didn't plan on sharing it, but it popped in my mind. But he said, you know what? I told my men, he said, don't shoot any of the men. Take out only the commanders. He said, I personally shot at you numerous times at fairly close range. He said, all my other men were shooting at you. He said, nobody was able to take you down. Of course, he knew he had these bullet holes in his vest. And he knew right then, God supernaturally protected me. And we've talked about it before. If it's not your time to go, you're not going anywhere. God is the one who controls that. And that should give even our soldiers great confidence going into battle. You know, if you know the Lord and you say, you know what? If it's my time, then I'm going. But if it's not, there's nothing going to take me down. Remember, I shared with you guys about our tour guide. He was, of course, everybody's in the military over in Israel. If you grow up in Israel, you have to be in the military. You had 18, the men and women alike, you join the military. And he was talking about being in the military, and it was either he or his brother under this tree. I believe it was him that it happened to. And being a believer in the Lord, and this mortar round came in, and he heard it coming in, heard it whistling, didn't know where it was coming from. This huge noise, louder than anything, just boom, you know. And he looked up, and this thing had lodged in the tree above him, stuck right in the middle of it. Didn't go off. And he knew. He said, you know what? It's not my time, Lord. It's not my time to go. I should have just been annihilated just then. And so what it does is, when we're going, listen, here's the spiritual application. Guys, going into battle, God is your protector. And God is going to give you the victory no matter how bad the battle seems. God is going to be the one that protects you. And you're not going to go down because God is the one controlling you. And we're not going to leave this earth until God says it's our time. And then it only gets better. And so David now learning these lessons, these great lessons of God's power. But I think about the confidence. And I was thinking, Lord, if I heard, is that even as the wind was whipping in the trees. And I heard that. I thought, you know what? If I heard the marching of the trees, and you know, in the tops of the trees, Lord, and you had said, you know, we're going to go to battle or whatever, man, you wouldn't be afraid of anything. There'd be such a confidence. I mean, you literally could run into the face of fire, not because you're so brave, but because you realize God's protecting me. And if God's protecting, nothing can hurt you. And so David now, this warrior David, has all this confidence, has God backing him, and now he has God's word. He's ready to advance, and he's going to, you know, again, just annihilate. I love this. In 1 Samuel 17:47, again, it says this, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into your hands. See, David didn't have to worry about going to fight. The Lord went before him and all the angels. One angel, you know, wiped out 185 of Sennacherib's men in one night on the mountains around Jerusalem. The Bible tells us. Hezekiah was in there, and God says, you know, Hezekiah, there's not going to be one arrow flying this place. Because Sennacherib's bragging against me. He thinks he's greater than me. He may have defeated all these other nations and all these other peoples, but now he's bragging against me. He's messing with the wrong guy, basically. And so he says, you just rest. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. He gets up the next morning and 185,000 of Sennacherib's soldiers are dead on the hillsides around Jerusalem. One angel. Now you hear the angels marching in the tops of the trees going before you. Man, it would be like, you could have like a bunch of kids from kindergarten with you and go, come on, you know, and everybody, and there you'd win. All the kids jumping and laughing and screaming, and the enemy would be defeated. That'd be exciting, wouldn't it? You know, they'd be grabbing your leg, we did it, yeah, you know. But that's what God wants. That's what we're like, really, guys. Really. I don't picture myself as a warrior, but I picture my God as a warrior. kind of image I have of myself is kind of like those armor suits that are too big. You know, and you're trying to look out at it, and the thing goes, kook, you know, and falls like, can't hardly raise the sword up, and God says, there's my army. I'm going, you're kidding, from inside the mask. This is your army? Yeah, because you're not going to fight it, Mark. It's not you. I just got you there as a body. I'm going to fight it, and I'll get the glory. But I'm going to let you be a part of it. Sometimes God will do stuff, and I think that I had something to do with it. That happened recently, and I embarrassed myself because God pointed out. I was like, ah. You know when dad's working on the lock and you're a kid and he says, hey, son, go get the light. Go get the light. I can't see this. Go get the light. So you get the light and you're still a kid. And you're like, I'm helping dad. We're going to fix the lock, right? Here's your part. That's it. Our part is just to shine the light, isn't it? We just shine the light. Just glorify Jesus. That's our part. So there we are, and we're watching him do all this, and he fixes it and twists it and puts everything on and tightens it down, everything, just prayer, whatever. And then you run inside, right? I fixed the lock. I fixed the lock. You're kidding. No, I did. I fixed it. Well, dad helped. So I guess we fixed it. But it's fixed. Go try it. And they'll come and tell you that, and you know they didn't fix it. But they really think they did. Are we not like that sometimes? I led them to the Lord, man. That was perfect. Just the whole thing wove together, and there it was. Boom. That was great. All right? And God's up there going, oh, boy. We got to start over. You know, Mark, you held the light, and I did a work. Now you're going to tell somebody about how you did it. And I just, you know, it's kind of like God is gracious, isn't he? He's patient. He says, you know, and then we learn to say, Lord, just do it. You know, it's you and whatever. I think it's exciting that he even lets us hold the light. Really, he doesn't have to let us be involved in any of this, does he? He's using us to spread the gospel around the world. The Bible says in Revelation he's going to send angels just to fly around and tell everybody. That's really all he had to do from the beginning, isn't it? All you do is send an angel, you know. Hello, you know. And it's done. Everybody knows it. Oh, okay. Now make a choice. All right. Some will, some won't, you know. But he says, I'm going to let all my kids, you know, run around with their little flashlights. They're all going to be just shining the light, helping dad do the work. And some of them think they'll did it or they've done it or whatever. But I'm going to do it all. But then they all get to be a part of it. We get to go to heaven. Here's the neat thing about this. Even when we get to heaven, we haven't really done anything. It's been all the Lord, right? He's still going to give us rewards. Think about that for a minute. For what? Here's your reward. Well, but Lord, you're the one that did it. I know, but here. Okay, thanks. And all he does is say, just do what I've asked you to do, and I've got all this reward for you. Isn't he great? What a great father we have. He's so good. Well, so he goes up there and quickly strikes the Philistines, and they're all jumping around. They beat him. In verse 25, and David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. I love this. Again, look at the results of David praying to the Lord, waiting on his word, and then being obedient. Those three elements we talked about tonight. Remember, he prayed, he waited for God to speak, and then now he's being obedient. Those are the three steps we've seen David do tonight through this process. Praying, then waiting for God's word, then doing what God said. And because of this, he not only defeated the enemy once, he defeated the enemy twice, and he drove them back as far as Geba to Gezer, which is about 15 miles. And he drives them all the way down this big valley. God, again, just, you know, using this place of victory here and driving him back 15 miles and just this great victory now of David, and David starting in his kingdom. You know, guys, as we finish this tonight, again, let's not forget what God wants us to do when we come under attack. Remember, you step out of ministry, you're going to be attacked. What do you do? Run into the stronghold. Run to the Lord. Secondly, pray. There's really four things I should have included in this, because you run into the stronghold first. You run to Jesus. Just, I guess I was including prayer in that running to Jesus. So that's how I linked them together. But really, you run to Jesus, and part of running to Jesus is that prayer. So I guess they are linked in some way. But running to the Lord, praying to the Lord, waiting for his word, and then simply being obedient to what he said to do. If we do that, God will give us the victory. And remember, God's not going to always do it the same way each time. We do those same things, but God has different ways of doing things. Here's what I want you to do this time. He has different approaches. You know, this time you go around behind them, wait at the mulberry trees to hear them marching on the top of the trees. You know, God, you know, sometimes God has won some battles in some interesting ways, has he not? go march around the city 7 times and the walls will fall down. He's just very creative, isn't he? You don't know what God's going to do, but just obey him. So let's pray. We're going to ask the Lord to help us to fight our battles and to do this. But also, guys, I want to pray as we finish tonight for God to give us a breakthrough. You know, David, I love that picturesque language David uses there. If God gave him the victory like a breakthrough of water, and I see David's men running toward him, having that confidence. God has told me to do this, and it's going to work. And all of a sudden, this whoosh, just like the water breaks open, and everything starts floating away and being pushed away. Some of you guys need a breakthrough tonight. You need God to give you that victory and that breakthrough. So I want to ask the Lord to do that and just ask God to really work in our hearts to do that. So let's take it to the Lord and ask him to. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness, just to give us victory over the enemy. Truly, the battle doesn't belong to you. And Lord, sometimes we think that we have something to do with it. Really, we don't. We just hold the light and you do all the work. But I thank you for letting us hold the light. Thank you that we get to be the ones to talk about Jesus. And then we get to watch your power work. I thank you for that. And God, I pray, first of all, tonight that we would learn the lesson that you taught David. And Lord, if we decide to step out into battle, we're going to have the enemy looking for us, and then he's going to deploy troops. He's not just going to look for us. He's going to set traps out. And Father, I just pray that you would teach us that when he does that, to run into the stronghold. Teach us, Lord, to run to you, to always remember this, to run to you. And then once we're running to you, then to pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What steps should I take? What do I do? Which direction do I go? Lord, show me how to get out of this, or what this mess, or what do you want? You want me to stay here? You want me to go there? What do you want me to do, Lord? And help us, God, to be faithful to do that. And Father, not just faithful to pray, but Lord, also being faithful to, Lord, to wait on your word. To say, all right, Lord, I don't want to do this until I know exactly what it is you want me to do. You show me, Lord. And Lord, lastly, to be obedient to it. To simply be obedient, no matter how hard it is. And Lord, right now, that's probably going on in some hearts in here. Some of us here tonight have run in the stronghold, Lord, and we're asking you what to do. And maybe you've already spoken in your word. Maybe you're speaking to our heart right now. And what we're hearing, maybe we don't like. I just pray, God, that if that's the case, you'd help us to be obedient no matter what. Because if we don't follow all of these, Lord, we're not going to have the victory. And so help us to submit to that and to be obedient to you, Lord. But Father, I pray also for a breakthrough tonight. For some that feel that, Lord, their life is just stopped up. There's something, Lord, that they've hit a brick wall. They can't seem to get beyond this certain place. And tonight you've brought them here because you wanted them to hear about the breakthrough that you gave David when he simply did that, when he ran in the stronghold, when he prayed, when he waited on your word, when he was obedient. And when all those things happened, you gave him a breakthrough, Lord. You bursted through like water, crashing through, overwhelming a dam and smashing it to pieces and taking everything in its path out of the way. Lord, you're the one that does it. We try so hard. And if we could learn just to wait on you and let you do it and ask for your power, Lord, and trust in you, you would remove all of the obstacles. God, I pray that tonight. I pray for breakthroughs tonight. You know what the breakthroughs are. Right now, as people are praying around this room and they're asking, oh, Lord, give me a breakthrough in this. You see it, Lord. You hear it. And you did it for David. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Lord, you can give those breakthroughs right now. I encourage you, begin to name those to the Lord. And Father, when it happens, we'll give you all the glory. No bragging, no boasting. God, forgive us of our bragging and boasting. Forgive me, Lord, of the times I've bragged and boasted. The arrogance, thinking somehow I did something. God, forgive me. And forgive all of us, Lord. We're just excitable kids. And we love to see you work. And when it happens, we want to be so much a part of it. I think sometimes we take credit. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. And thank you for just letting us be there and holding the light for you, our dad. While you do the work and put our hearts in a place, Lord, where they can be humble and broken before you so that you can use us to hold the light the rest of our life. And Lord, I understand why we throw the crowns back at your feet because we don't deserve them anyway. But I thank you for the fact that you let us be a part and that you're even going to give us reward. So we look to you tonight, God, our God of power, our God of breakthroughs. And again, that was what was, I guess, most on my heart tonight, Lord. So I believe you're doing that in some people's lives in here tonight, some situations. Let them receive it now by faith. And Lord, give those breakthroughs. We give you all the glory for it. You alone get the credit. And we thank you, Lord, and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.